Let's get into the Word today. I woke up early Tuesday morning, so really, you know, middle of the night still. It's funny how that midnight thing works. It's actually the next day, but it still feels like you haven't gotten to day yet. That's always the way it's felt to me. Anyway, I woke up, and I had had a dream, and I would have tried to remember the dream, but I was trying to remember something I heard in the dream more than the dream itself. So I don't remember this dream. It was a very, I'm going to use the word vivid, dream. But I couldn't remember the dream because I was grabbing my phone so I could type something I heard, because I felt like I heard God say, I am not in a vivid place away from everything else. I am in a vivid place in the midst of everything else. And it was such an unusual sentence. I used the word vivid to describe the dream. I don't think I use the word vivid very much in my life. I mean, it's probably not a word that, you know, I had this vivid experience. I usually find other words. But I used that word because most of us have had those vivid dreams. That's probably one place where I've used it, where it really stands out and everything is really like obvious. And that was what was so weird, because I was trying so hard to remember what I heard said in the dream that I didn't remember anything about the dream, even though it seemed like it was, you know, one of those ones where you wake up and you think, wow, that seemed real. But what was real was that sentence. I am not in a vivid place away from everything else. I am in a vivid place in the midst of everything else. And I got to thinking about that then, you know, after I wrote it down, I went back to it and I thought, okay, God's talking to me about something. Maybe I should share it with the congregation. We know that God is present here right now, right? We know that God's present here. Psalm 139, I'm going to go there and I'm going to read a few verses. And if you want to join me at that spot, that'd be great. We've had this taught before. I remember a couple years ago, Mark Schnittke taught from this specifically. He was teaching about some other things, but let's start with verse 7 in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, yet the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and darkness is as light to you. It's a beautiful thing to think about how God really is everywhere all the time. And I've talked about this a bit in the past, and based on this scripture, you know, you can't get away from him. Everything that is exists in him. But then there are scriptures like this story that I'm going to read you from 1 Kings 19. It's about Elijah. And some of you remember Elijah ran afoul of a lady named Jezebel. And then he just flat out ran. He was like, getting out of here. And in 1 Kings 19, he's gone to this place where he's tried to get away from Jezebel because she's, you know, wanting his head on a platter. And in verse 11, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, This is interesting to me because Elijah hears the word of the Lord, and yet when he hears the word of the Lord, he doesn't say the Lord was present. He doesn't describe it as that. And then he talks about what happens, and these things happen. You know, God is everywhere, but he wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. Well, he was in those things, but he wasn't. And you're like, what? And then he was in the still small voice. And then his voice shows up again in another voice. Obviously, God is everywhere, but there are times when we only encounter him in certain ways or under certain conditions. That's what I was thinking about. There's times when the way we connect to God, when the way we sense his or become aware of him, this things have to sometimes be right for us. It's not that God wasn't there the whole time. God's always there. We're just not all there all the time. What? Yeah. Does anybody besides me, by the way, maybe you don't. I wrestle with this thing. Like, I know God's there, but I'd like him to be there. Like, God, I know you're here, but could you just, like, show me you're here? Like, I want a manifestation sometimes. Do any of you feel that? I know, so I'm walking by faith, but it would be really nice if I didn't have to be so full of faith right now. I'd really like to just know. Like, I'd whack me once really good, please. And by the way, God has whacked me a few times really good. And his presence was overwhelming, and I was not able to avoid it. And then things happen. You know, sometimes you end up on the floor. Sometimes you end up walking around like you're drunk. Or sometimes you just shake. You know, things can happen. And I've had those experiences, and those are amazing. I know, for example, that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Right? And according to Acts chapter 2, I would call it a pretty powerful encounter. So you would think that wouldn't wear off anytime soon, right? They really got whacked. Tongues of fire on their head, and they were filled with the Spirit. But then in chapter 4, a few days later, they were praying together in one place, and the place was shaken, which was different than the first time. First time was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, but in Acts chapter 4, they were in a place and the place just gets rocked, literally, physically shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. You were just filled with the Holy Spirit. Where'd your fill go? I remember a preacher years ago saying, there are many fillings because there are many leaks. We're a leaky people. That's not a bad thing, by the way. You know, we should, you know, what we've got should be, we should get filled, and then we should go out and leak on people. Just saying.
From 6 feet,
yeah. But you know, it's like, how do filled people get filled? But yet, you know, I've been there where I just felt the presence of God so powerfully, and then all of a sudden I'm feeling the presence of God in a way that I hadn't felt the presence of God before. It's good. It's all good. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us that the apostle John was filled with the Spirit on the Lord's day. So, it doesn't say he was filled. It says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which makes me ask the question, was he not in the Spirit the other days? Should he have been in the Spirit the other days? What's up with that, John? Stay in the Spirit, dude. What's your problem? It's clear that we aren't on the same level every day. I got that. And listen to what Paul says. This is it's a verse that's normally contained in some other thing altogether, but I just want to pull something out of it. 1 Corinthians 5:4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are to gather together along with my Spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, and then he gives them instruction what to do. And this is about a guy who was doing some things, and his life was out of whack, and he had his he had his father's wife, and it's a nasty story, but they were doing some discipline things. But he says, and the power of the Lord is there. There are times when we're gathered together and the power of the Lord is here. And then there are times when we're gathered together when it doesn't feel as powerful, probably. I'm sorry. I wish every service could be as powerful as the last or some other date that you remember or the next or, you know, wouldn't it be great if every service was just more powerful than the last service? Wouldn't it be great if every day I was more powerful than I was yesterday? I was more full of the Spirit than I was yesterday. And clearly there are times when we recognize what God's doing more than other times. I began to look for a rebuke in the Scripture for this. I wondered, did the Scripture say anything? Now, maybe you'll find one, but I didn't find one that says, you know, you got to be way more on tomorrow than you are today. And then the day after that, you got to be more. And then the day after that, you got to be more. I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm not trying to discourage you from trying. Go for it. If we're supposed to be on all the time, then shouldn't there be an example of someone who was on all the time? And someone will say, well, yeah, that's Jesus. Jesus was on all the time. Okay. So then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, we read this. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone with such great faith. Now, we all know that Jesus operated in the word of knowledge, right? He knew stuff that he wouldn't know otherwise. Like one of the stories is how Philip goes and gets Nathanael and says, come and see Jesus. And Nathanael's like, Jesus of Nazareth, what good can come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. And as he's approaching, Jesus says, oh, I saw you when you were with Philip under the fig tree. And he's like blown away. Because Jesus had a word of knowledge that he shared with him, and it was amazing. But here in Matthew 8, in this scripture with the centurion, I noticed that Jesus was amazed. And the word there, when you start to study Greek words, sometimes you can have, you know, different Greek words. There's more than one Greek word that's sometimes translated amazed in context. This particular place, amazed, means surprised. Can you surprise God? The all-knowing God? Can you surprise the all-knowing God? Yeah, but Jesus wasn't operating as God. He was a man operating with the Holy Spirit. He'd set aside his divinity for a season. So Jesus wouldn't necessarily have been like, I got to have it all together every second. I got to be on. Jesus took time to rest. Jesus took time to go aside and pray. Jesus was operating. He was God manifest in the flesh, but he was operating as a man, not as God. Now, I may be saying that wrong, so if that's weirding you out, I'm just trying to say to you, I don't think even Jesus would require you to have a better day today than you did yesterday, and then tomorrow's spiritual level's got to be up here. Because sometimes I think we beat ourselves up. And it's like, well, I remember a time when this happened and that happened, and God did this and God did that. And well, rather than beating ourselves up over it, what if we just decided that I want more of it? Rather than saying, oh, I wish this would happen or that would happen again, what if we said, I'm going to go after that again? And while I'm going after it, Maybe God will show me something I've never seen before. I'm under the impression that the power of God doesn't operate full blast in humans. Because I have a feeling that if God operated full blast through humans, the humans would probably go to pieces. That doesn't mean it's not available when we need it, but I'm not sure that our human being is capable of going full blast in the Spirit all the time. There is a scripture that talks about when this corruption has put off corruption and has become incorruptible. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but I'm getting older. I know, it's hard to tell because I look so good. But seriously, I am getting older. Good genes. Yeah, not bad. Lisa bought them. Anyway, it's just really like we recognize that we're spirit beings having a temporary earthly experience. And by the way, we should think of ourselves as that, because that'll help us. Instead of thinking of ourselves as earthly being having temporary experiences, we maybe need to think of ourselves as a spirit being having temporary earthly experiences. But nevertheless, this thing isn't done yet. Like, it's going to look better, and it really needs to, when it gets to heaven, okay? Get my hair back, all that stuff. I've spoken to us many times about Joseph's experience in Genesis chapter 28 at the place called Bethel. And I've talked about it a lot because our church is called Bethel. And that was the place where Joseph came to realize that God was there and he was missing it. He didn't realize God was there. Jacob, I'm sorry. Did I say Joseph? Okay, Jacob. Preachers do that sometimes. Thank God for preachers' wives, who are really good at Bible trivia and just rip you to pieces in the game. Anyway. we know that God is present everywhere, but recognizing the presence is something that we have to work on, because it's so easy to not recognize the presence because there's so much else going on. I mean, especially, I don't know, maybe women can do this better than men, because men have a one-track mind and women seem to be able to multitask better than men. And then, you know, here's another thing. God sometimes shows up. This gets to me too. God sometimes shows up and he doesn't care, like whether we are paying any attention or not. Doesn't even matter whether we're paying attention. He shows up and stuff happens. Do you remember there was a revival in Pensacola back in 1995? And the place was just, I mean, they couldn't get all the people in. And night after night after night of service, and they started having services during the day and during the night. And they had people come into that sanctuary when the sanctuary was actually supposed to be empty between what they were doing. People had been known to walk into that sanctuary and just fall down in the spirit. The presence of God was so powerful, they just fell out. Which makes me wonder who got them out of there. Like, how did they get out? Did somebody, maybe they tied a rope to their ankle and drug them out. No, they didn't do that. I think I even remember hearing the story of someone who came in to do some kind of maintenance who wasn't even like part of the church and really wasn't fully, I mean, he probably knew there was a revival going on, but he didn't know what it looked like. And they found him out in the spirit. The presence of the Lord was so powerful. And then I heard another story about two young pastors who were going to a meeting with a bunch of their pastor friends, and they were the youngest, and these two guys were kind of in the back seat or the back probably row of the van, and they were on their way, and the older ministers were talking about what was going on at this revival, and they were unsure what they thought of it. It was something they were unfamiliar with, and they were kind of laughing about it a little bit and joking about it and a little bit skeptical, and they get there. And the service is going on, and at one point in the service, there's this outbreak of the presence of God that's extremely powerful. And literally, this young man said, and then I looked, and every single person in the place was out on the floor before the Lord, except me and my friend who had been making fun of it and calling it silly. And then they were both like, oh, please God, don't leave us out. You know, then they came to a sudden revelation. Wait. This is not good that we're the only ones on our feet when everybody else is, you know. So I said all this to bring us to an idea. Is it a good thing to go after experiences, encounters with God's presence? I believe it is. I believe it is. And I think that sometimes our theology of God is everywhere anyway, we need that. We need to know that, because when we're someplace and we need God, we need to know He's there. But on the other hand, if we think God's always there anyway, then we can get to a point where, theologically speaking, well, it doesn't really matter if God shows up or not. We can start to get to that point where we're not as anxious. We call it faith, and we're just cruising. But, well, he's with me, I know. Yeah, you need a reminder once in a while. I think we need reminders once in a while. I think I need a reminder once in a while. It was funny, too, because this week, Lisa Davis, who was working so hard on making that room amazing, and it was, and the kids had a great time. But in the middle of the week, I called an extra prayer meeting. And Matt and Lisa were already here, and so, you know, they wandered over here, and there weren't very many of us here, but we had the music on, and it was just good. I have been getting a lot out of the prayer meetings, and I'm thinking that we might try to go every other week and just, you know, soak. And so Lisa gets in here, and she ends up in the back sitting on the floor. She didn't get slain in the spirit or anything, but she was back in the back. There she is. She came back in. She's working with children's church stuff right now. Well, you keep leaving, or it was in my notes. It's time to talk. So anyway, she's back in the back there, and we're getting ready to end the thing and pray, and she's back there writing. I don't know what you were writing, but she said, I needed this tonight. I needed this tonight. You know, and she was having it wasn't the most spectacular encounter she's ever had with God, but it was a good encounter. Yeah, she's like, yeah, it was good. It was good. See, we need encounters. We need encounters. I think we were designed to need encounters. I think it's important that we have encounters. I think it's important that once in a while we feel the breath of God. Once in a while we hear the voice of God. Even if it's not a physical voice, we still hear His voice. We have these encounters. We need to recognize the encounters when they come. Sometimes we don't recognize them. You know, I told the little story of earlier about me working on the door, and I taken the thing apart three times and put it back together three times, and I said, Lord, I could use some help here. And I look up and see the little screw. How many think that was probably God? Yeah. I'm thankful. I was immediately thankful as I laughed at myself for not recognizing that one little quarter inch, just turn it a few times till it's back up and it's fine. I don't think we should be anxious to the point of anxiety if we're in a season where we haven't had an encounter or a powerful encounter. In fact, we probably have had encounters and didn't recognize them, like Jacob. But I don't think we should get to the point where we're content on our past encounters, or content on a life without encounters. Content with a life that is not seeing God do things that are beyond us and touch us in ways that we can feel. I think we need to get past that. So going back to the words I heard earlier, God says, I am not in a vivid place away from everything else. I am in a vivid place in the midst of everything else. Again, I said vivid's not a word that I use a lot. I looked it up to be sure I had a good picture of what it meant. And I wasn't far off. Dictionary.com says, strikingly bright or intense as color, light, etc. A vivid green. Okay, yeah, people can relate to that. Number two, full of life, lively, animated. A vivid personality. Okay. Number three, presenting the appearance, freshness, spirit, etc. of life. Realistic, a vivid account. Ooh. Number four, strong, distinct, or clearly perceptible, a vivid recollection. Number five, forming distinct and striking mental images, a vivid imagination or dream. It literally comes from a Latin word, and the Latin word means to live. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have vivid experiences, that our life might become more vivid. So that brings me to a simple question. How do I get more of these vivid, life-giving encounters? How do I get into this vivid place that God says is right here in the middle of everything? And by the way, if you get into that vivid place, you'll become a vivid personality. You'll become a person who can help other people have encounters. He gives us an encounter so we can be an encounter for someone else. Now, I thought of two things right off the top. I could probably go for another hour and a half just on this little piece of this message right here. But let's just look at a couple little things so that it doesn't get overwhelming. The first thing that I kind of thought of was seen there in that experience in the book of Acts that I talked about a little bit ago. The first time the Holy Spirit came on them, do you know what they were doing? Anybody? Know what they were doing the first time the Holy Spirit came on them in Acts chapter 2? Praying. That's what they'd been up to. They had been praying. Or some people say tarrying, which they were told by Jesus to tarry. And so they didn't know what else to do while they tarried, so they prayed. And in chapter 1, as we're approaching chapter 2, it uses this word homothumadon. They had prayed together and become of one mind. Homothumadon. They were in one accord is a word that we're used to using in some Pentecostal circles. So they had been praying. And by the way, there were 120 people, not just the apostles, that had been praying. And as they joined together in prayer, they had, and I'd say that was a pretty good experience. That was a pretty major encounter. And do you know what they were doing the second time in Acts chapter 4 when the place was shaken and they spoke the word of God with boldness, it says. Guess what they were doing? They were praying. There they were again. They were praying. And I thought, gee, that prayer thing might have a lot to do with whether or not we're having experiences. Imagine that, yeah. I want to note that they were praying, though, together. That one accord thing was a big deal. They were praying together. I don't want to discourage you from praying at home by yourself or praying in your car when you go down the road. Most of you know that I talk a lot about how God just talks to me while I'm driving sometimes. And you know, you can be anywhere by yourself. But there's something important about corporate prayer. What I mean is praying with others, gathering in and praying with people. I'm going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. In both places, I think the togetherness was maybe just as important as the prayers. I'm not saying that the Spirit can't fall on an individual, by the way. I have had some amazing experiences where the Spirit just fell on me. I was in our first home. Lisa was at work one day. I don't remember where she was. Maybe I got home early. Might have been a shift change for me. Anyway, I was at home one day by myself. No kids. The dog was there, I suppose. I don't remember the dog doing anything in particular. I got on my face and started praying. And the next thing I know, I was just getting... The presence of God just filled the place. And I started shaking and I kind of fell over off my knees and was, okay, what else? And, you know, you can have encounters. That's good. Go after those. But I do believe that we can and should expect his presence where two or three are gathered. Matthew 18, 19. One other verse that I will draw your attention to in this idea of how to have these experiences, these encounters, is Psalm 100 and verse 4, where it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praise, like prayer, I believe is a gateway to the vivid place of God. And both prayer and praise are communication towards God, and sometimes we think of prayer as asking for stuff, but really prayer has an element of thanksgiving in it, which is worship, and praise has an element of thanksgiving in it, which is worship. And when we're in that place, I think that sets us up for a response to our thanksgiving. Now, one other little reminder to go with this. Most of you know that I teach that speaking in tongues is prayer and praise. And I think I'll just hit on this morning just for a moment, because I want to encourage you to go after the gifts of the Spirit. And the Scripture says, you know, look for the gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. And you'll hear me tell stories that I've, you know, run into people and I give them a word, and I love doing that stuff. And it also says, you know, seek the spiritual gifts. And some people think that tongues is somehow a lesser gift, but it's not. And I want to show you a little something on that. Because in Acts chapter 2, we see the 120 speaking in tongues. Some teach that the day of Pentecost, the 120 were given the tongue so they could preach the gospel. And I'm going to show you or remind you, if you're watching and you've never heard this before, that's not what the Scripture teaches at all. In the book of Acts. Not at all. And are you ready? I'll make sure you know this, because this is a big deal. I discovered this early on in my Christian experience, and it changed how I thought about the gift of the Spirit called speaking in tongues. So let's look at it. In Acts chapter 2, if you want to get there, I'm going to start reading. And I'm going to read through about 13 verses, and I'm going to highlight some things as I go. So, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There it is again, homothumadon. And suddenly, and it says, well, I think that's actually a different Greek word, but homothumadon is in just before that in chapter 1. Anyway, and in case there's a theologian watching and he's just like, rah! Okay. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Everybody say confused. Okay. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed. By the way, the Greek word for amazed right there means beside themselves. Goes with that confused thing. And marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. If you don't know what a proselyte was, that was somebody who was converted to Judaism and had to go through a whole lot, including learning the Hebrew language. Cretans and Arabs. By the way, I've already named off more than 12 different languages that they heard, so clearly it was more than just the 12 that were experiencing this. We hear them speaking, listen to this, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed. Okay, I hear them speaking the wonderful works of God, but I don't understand this. You get that picture now? I hear what's going on, but I don't get it. It's not sinking into my brain. Like, I hear them speaking the wonderful works of God. And they looked at one another and said, whatever could this mean? They weren't able to pull out of it meaning. They understood it. They recognized it. They heard it. But it didn't make sense to them. Others mocking, by the way, this is the scripture, said they are full of new wine. They're drunk. That's what they were inferring. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. At this point, some of your Bibles even have this, Peter's message, Peter's first message. He gets up and he gives his first message. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole first message, because that takes us all the way down until the end of the message at verse 37. Now listen to what it says in verse 37. Now when they heard this, referring to Peter's message, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Up until then, they had heard people speaking in different languages that they recognized. They had heard them speaking the wonderful works of God, but they didn't know what it meant. They didn't get it. It didn't sink in. And then they get to the end of Peter's message, which was probably done in Hebrew. Some say it could have been in Aramaic. I don't know. I wasn't there. I want to get the video when I get to heaven. I want to watch. I want to see. It'll be fun, right? So they get to the end of Peter's message, and then they, now, ding, 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 something goes off. I understand what you're talking about. And now, what do I need to do? I got to fix this. I want to have what you guys have got. Get it? Okay. The wonderful works of God are something that you can see throughout the Bible, and you usually see it in association with seasons of praise. If you look in the book of Psalms, you will see Psalms where it's recounted as part of the worship that David was doing and the other worshipers in Psalms. Now, all the Psalms are written by David. And they were worshiping God. They were praising God. They were thanking God for what he had done. They talked about, you know, we were taken through the Red Sea. We were brought into the Promised Land. All the wonderful things that God had done. That's what they heard these guys doing. What they were hearing these guys doing was they were hearing praise. And the praise made sense to them, but they didn't know why they were praising. Are they drunk? Is that why they're praising? And how did they get these languages? And they didn't understand. And then when they heard this, they were touched. The tongues didn't bring the gospel. It didn't bring anybody to repentance. It didn't bring anybody into relationship with Jesus. But it sure was fun for those who were speaking in tongues. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we can verify this through the teaching of Paul. And I'm sorry if I'm getting a little long here, but I feel like somebody maybe watching needs this. And I want to make sure they get this whole picture. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Don't we sing praises to God? See, this tongues thing is this thing where we start exalting God, where we start glorifying God. And if we do only prayers where we go, God, this is what I need. Here's my checklist. Please do this. Okay, thanks. See you later. We're not soaking in the presence of God. We're not letting him speak to us. Every time I come to one of our soaking sessions, I find myself pulling my phone out, not so I can get on Facebook, but so that I can mark things down, little things that the Lord speaks to me about while I'm praying. And I walk around the room, or sometimes I lay on the pew or lay on the platform, and I just pray, and I just talk to God, and he talks back. And I worship. It's just a natural part of it. There's music going on, and I worship while the music's going on, and I flow with it. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Our prayers, our praise in the Spirit is a giving of thanks to God, led by the Spirit. So the Spirit speaks out of us, the Holy Spirit touching our spirits and causing us to speak and pray in the Spirit. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So Paul taught the Corinthians that speaking in tongues was prayer and praise. On the day of Pentecost, I believe speaking in tongues was prayer and praise. It used to confuse me because people would teach that, well, sometimes tongues was used for this and then sometimes it's used for that. No, it's just the same thing all the time. I believe if we want more vivid encounters with God and with his presence and with his power, then we will want to give ourselves over to more prayer and praise. More corporate prayer and praise. And more prayer and praise, as it says in 1 Corinthians, in the Spirit, which is using the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically the gift of speaking in tongues. I think sometimes it seems like that gift in particular has become less valuable or less valued, even by Pentecostals. Let's not do that, as if God gave us anything that was not valuable or helpful, or even, if you will, necessary. When I come to church on Sunday mornings and I'm opening things up, I wander around the building praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit. I just want to just, you know, begin to recognize what's going to happen, that he's going to be here. Now, it's important, and we make a big deal about it here. It's important to hear the Word of God preached, and I don't think we lack that in our meetings. And I'm not the only one that preaches. We've got other preachers in this church, and it's good. It's good that we have people who have things to share from the Word. I do believe, though, that we can hear the Word and not do the Word and miss the encounter because we have this going on more than we have this going on. I think God wants our whole spirit, mind, and body, the whole thing, to experience him. And we experience him on different levels. When your body's getting, you know, touched by God, and you find yourself on the floor looking up wondering how you got there, that's a pretty interesting experience. If you're shaking and baking on the floor because, and you're like, I feel like I might not look really smart right now. Some people have had, I don't want to have that experience. Yes, you do. You really do. You want to have it. You just don't know you want to have it. And maybe pride itself kept you from having it. I don't want us to be out of balance with the Word. It's very important. But I don't want us to be all about what we know instead of getting it deep down inside of us where we know that we know. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind is, I can't count on my brain. Last week's message was a little bit about that. Sometimes the way things are going and I'm swimming in a sea of information and disinformation and competing information, which we are living in right now in the midst of this COVID thing. Arrah, what's what? Who's telling us what about what and what's true and what's not? And you can get so, you just get, put the mind aside for a minute. Not get so theological that you just, all you are is logical. And Theo gets left out. What happens when we have some of these encounters with God is these vivid encounters with the vivid presence of God that takes us out of our normal and into a supernatural experience. It's really a big deal for us to have those, and the gates become open wide for God to then change us and adjust us and make us able to deal with our real life even better, even better. So, this morning, here in the room, we're about to move into a time of praise. And unfortunately, those who are watching by Facebook, I can't offer that to you yet. We're working on getting better, and we would like to be really good someday to where we can just move right into our praise and worship, and it sounds good. Right now, we would move into our praise and worship, and you would be like, oh, never mind, and you would turn it off. Because it's hard to balance all that and make it work over video. But for those of us who are here, I'm going to encourage you, as we move into this, and if you're not here, maybe you can go find a really well-done, recorded some praise and worship, and you can just, you know, disconnect from us and just connect to that when we disconnect from you. But for those of us who are here, I would like to suggest that what we're doing next is every bit as important as what we've been doing up till now. And that maybe we might want to just go after something. We might just want to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to let you do something. I don't want to be that dude standing in the midst of everything wishing that I had not been so smart and didn't want to get touched. So for those of you who have joined us, I want to encourage you. God wants you to have encounters. Maybe you're with two or three people, or two or more are gathered. There he is in the midst of you. Have a very vivid experience. And if you can, maybe next week you'll be able to join us. If you can't quite yet for reasons that are understandable in this current season, I get it. But if you can join us, it's really good. It's really good to be where, and maybe we'll just, you know, all just have a little tingle before we leave. Or who knows? Maybe God will show up and the whole room will be on the floor and I'll be up there standing with my guitar going, how do I lead worship in this? Who knows what could happen? Anything could happen if we're willing for God to do what God wants to do. I want to have more vivid experiences with God. I don't want to just go through life with a really good theology and feel good about myself. I want to know that I know that I know.